tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes, I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world, and I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends, that you can mend a heart that's frail and torn.
stumble again. Still I'm caught in your grace, everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Remains.
everyone, to this week's message on The Hope Show. I'm very pleased, and it's my honor, to have all of you listening in to The Hope Show today. I hope all of you have had a good week, and I hope you're ready to hear another inspiring message. Today, I would like to do things a little bit different. I'm actually going to break my show up into three parts today. So there will be three titles to my message. However, they do all tie in with each other. The first part of my message is going to be about unconditional love. I think we all know what unconditional love is, but do we show true unconditional love toward one another, or do we oftentimes love with condition? The Webster's Dictionary definition of unconditional love is a love without limit, without condition. It means that a person loves one another with a certainty, decisively, doubtlessly, no strings attached, and unquestionably. Now, folks, let me ask you a very personal question. How many people in your own life can you honestly list off that you truly feel unconditional love for them? Oftentimes we are guilty of throwing around the word love very loosely, and it means many different things to many different people. It gets a little confusing sometimes. In the English language, all types of love are bunched under the same generalized word of love. An example of this is, I love my dog. I love my car. I love the autumn season because of all the pretty colors. I love my spouse. I love my children. I love my in-laws. I love chocolate ice cream. Or, I love the fact that I can fit into those size 12 pants that were my favorites before I gained a few pounds. So by these examples, you can see just how easily the word love is thrown around. But in other cultures, they have three or four categories for describing the depths of one's love. And it is not all grouped under the same definition as the English language. Different levels of love are categorized as such. It gives a person a clearer idea of how a person loves something or someone. Love is vitally important in all of our lives. We all want to be loved and accepted for who we truly are. In fact, love is the cornerstone that holds up all society. But here's the kicker, folks. You have to unconditionally love yourself before you can demonstrate that same kind of love toward other people. So I'm going to spend some time talking about loving yourself, trying to lay down that foundation before I get into how to love other people unconditionally and why that is so important. Let me start out by saying that our bodies, our mind, our soul, it's very complex and very unique. We are not all made with the same cookie-cutter mold. Wouldn't that be very boring if we were? I think it's a true blessing that we aren't all made the same. Praise God for that. Why is it so important, though, that we be able to love ourselves first before we can love one another? Well, the answer is quite simple. You can only give to another what you are able to give yourself. If you can't love yourself, it will be difficult to meet someone else's needs. Self-love starts by giving the love and attention and care to yourself that you so rightly deserve. Love is meant to be shared by all. Once you learn how to love yourself, then love can be freely given away to others. The flow of love and self-love is a continual giving and receiving. But again, you might ask yourself, but why is loving myself so important? Here's the answer to that. It must start with ourselves, because we are ultimately responsible for our own actions, our own choices, and the outcome of those choices and actions. We cannot give to someone else that which we do not have to give ourselves. Likewise, we cannot get from someone else what he or she does not have to give. The more we love ourselves, then the more love flows through us, and we are able to pour out that same love onto others. Loving yourself also teaches us to love ourselves enough to be able to set healthy boundaries for ourselves so that we won't be taken advantage of. You might give this a thought. The next time you feel as if you're being taken advantage of and you can't find the courage within yourself to say no to that person, try asking yourself this. if I truly loved myself, if I truly wanted to take care of my own well-being, what would I do? Would I put up with this nonsense? Would I stand up for what I believe or how I personally feel? What's the worst case scenario? What do you think would happen if you said no to someone? If you say no to someone and they get angry with you, and then they aren't a very good friend, folks. It's better that you find this out now as opposed to later. Consider yourself blessed that you did find out the true nature of this person. People are not always what they seem to be. It may take quite a while to figure this out, or it may take only a short while. Yes, at first they can put up a very convincing front, and they may have you convinced that they are your very best friend. But in time, their true face will come to light, and you find out just what an ugly individual they are on the inside. You find out that they are real jerks, and that you are better off without them. This brings me to yet another matter. Some folks like to throw the word integrity around, like it's nothing but a thing. Some will boastfully admit that it's their favorite word. If it's the favorite word, then try getting some. Let's be politically correct, shall we? Do these folks truly know what integrity is? If they knew what integrity is and had any for themselves, then wouldn't it be quite ignorant of those individuals to say that they have some when clearly they don't? Or try to undermine someone else by telling the world that the other person doesn't have any integrity? Look who's calling the kettle black, for Pete's sake. Well, let me give you a definition of integrity, just so that we don't have any misunderstandings. By the dictionary definition of the word integrity, it means to adhere to moral and ethical principles, of being of sound moral character, to be honest. Integrity means to have honor and demonstrate that honor and virtue. To be quite honest, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time. It will come back to bite those individuals. You see, folks, that is a true example of someone who does not love themselves. If someone is able to treat friends like that, with a clear conscience, without any remorse for their own skewed attitude or behavior, then they clearly have issues. They can't truly love themselves, and clearly, they are the last ones that should be talking about this integrity of other people. You all heard the old saying about what happens when you assume something? I don't need to go there, but let me say that mostly that applies to the ones slandering others. Anyway, with that said, having a healthy love of yourself is the foundation of a happy and full life, but it's not the full expression of love. The full expression of love comes when we give love away freely and lose nothing by giving but gain much in return. Love is not meant to be bottled up or have stipulations placed on it. Love is not meant to be obtained through such actions as selfishness, bribery, threats, or physical violence. Love is just love. Simple, joyful, peaceful, healthy, wholesome, and pure happiness. Don't try to make it all complicated. No matter where you are at in your life right now, it is my belief that our Lord and Savior is the great lover of the unlovely and the greatest healer of all. He befriends the lonely, and he gives beauty to the ashes. He is always with the least of these. God don't make no junk. He sees you as worthy. Therefore, you are worthy of all good things. It's so important that each of us have a healthy outlook on life and about ourselves. Our love for ourselves and others, self-esteem, self-confidence, and self-respect are what keep propelling us forward. If we do not have these things in our life, then we will not be able to build healthy relationships with others. We will find ourselves forever feeling stuck in our circumstances. No one wants to be in the company of someone with a bad attitude. There are things in life that only we can do for ourselves. Only we can figure out the pieces of the puzzle and put them all together to make a whole. Finding your own personal love, happiness, peace, and joy are some of these things that we must do for ourselves. No one else can do this for us. It's a personal journey. Perhaps something from your past is holding you back. It's time to forgive yourself, fellow brothers and sisters. Sometimes we can't control our circumstances, but we can control how we respond to those circumstances. Everybody deserves love and happiness, no matter what their past has been like. It's never too late to change direction. Forgive, move on to a brighter future, learn to love yourself. I want to list a few ways that you can begin to love yourself again. Take the time to nurture yourself. Think of all the good qualities you have and accept the flaws. Nobody's perfect. Eliminate any and all self-criticism. Folks, it serves you no good purpose. Make every effort to give yourself some slack. It's not healthy to constantly criticize yourself, and it's counterproductive. Be kind and positive to yourself. When you think good thoughts about yourself, love will grow. You reap what you sow. If you sow positive seeds, you will reap positivity in your life. But likewise, if you sow negative seeds, negativity will follow you everywhere. And acknowledge all your efforts. Life isn't one big competition, as the world would like you to think. Many times it is the effort that really counts. If you've done your best, then you're a winner. Let go of your worries. Loving yourself means letting go of all the worries. Worrying makes us sick, and it doesn't make things happen any faster. So why give yourself an ulcer over what you can't change? Everything is on God's timing and not our own. Results will not come a minute sooner. Things will happen when they are supposed to happen. We would like to think we are in control, but we're not. And trust yourself, folks. Have confidence in your own ability. Know that you have the ability to make change happen. Forgive yourself. There's no need to keep beating yourself up over past mistakes. Get rid of the excess baggage and be free from that bondage. And another one, make peace with your grievances and with the grievances that others have given you. Folks, you cannot go back and fix things or do them differently. If nothing can be done about the past, then what is the purpose for staying there and dwelling on it? Set yourself free. Then, be truthful to yourself. Loving yourself absolutely requires you to be honest with yourself at all times. Whatever you are feeling or thinking, own it and claim it. Then, another example of self-loving is to grow spiritually. When you spend time nurturing your spirituality, then loving yourself becomes automatic. And express gratitude, folks. Cultivate appreciation for your own strengths and talents. Be thankful for the blessings you have been given each new day. And then nurture your dreams. Don't deny yourself a dream or a goal. It's very important to have a vision or a direction, something that will give your life purpose. Another way, boost your own self-confidence. If you know that you are particularly good at something, set aside some time in your day to do just that. Another way, have fun. Life isn't always meant to be taken so seriously. If you don't take some time out for yourself, you will miss out on a lot of joyful things. And I don't want you to one day grow old and find yourself unhappy and disappointed in yourself or angry with yourself for all the missed opportunities when you could have been having fun, but you thought you were too busy to take a little time off. And folks, learn to relax. give yourself space to take a break and just breathe. We all need that. In doing so, you acknowledge your own self-worth by giving yourself a little quality time just for you. Read a book. Enjoy the silence. Go fishing. Listen to your favorite music. Do something just for you. And take time each day to see the beauty all around you and give thanks. At this time, it's a good time to stop and take a little break. So I'm going to play you a few songs here before I return on with the message.
Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance.
Back on there.
While I was on break. If you are just tuning in today, then today's message is a three-part message, but each part ties in with one another. The first part of the message has been about unconditional love. So far, we've been talking about why it's so important to love yourself first. If you don't love yourself, then you can't give others what you don't have to give yourself. Let me take a few moments to recap what the first part of the message has been about. To love someone unconditionally is to love without limit, without condition. It means that a person loves one another with certainty, decisiveness, purpose, doubtlessly, no strings attached, and unquestionably. Love starts with us. Why is loving ourselves so important in this equation? Here's the answer to that. It must start with ourselves, because we are ultimately responsible for our own actions, our own choices, and the outcomes of those choices and actions. We cannot give to someone else which we do not have to give to ourselves. And likewise, we cannot get from someone else what he or she does not have to give. The more we can love ourselves, then the more love flows through us, and we are able to pour out that same love onto others. Love is not meant to be bottled up or have stipulations placed on it. Love is not meant to be obtained through such actions as selfishness, bribery, threats, or physical violence. Love is just love. Simple, joyful, peaceful, healthy, wholesome, and pure happiness. People seem to always try to complicate those things. But don't overthink love. Learn to let it flow freely through you and into everyone else around you. Love is not greed, pride, gossip, maliciousness, selfishness, arrogance, resentment, unforgiveness, hatred, prejudice, anger, bitterness, and or conceit. Real, honest, unconditional love is the cornerstone that holds up this society. Choose to be a healthy influence. God doesn't make trash. He made you worthy. Stop obsessing about what you are not and start loving and accepting, embracing all the wonderful things that you are. When you grow to truly love and accept yourself, flaws and all, when you start to believe that you truly are worthy, then you can provide that same unconditional love to someone else. The Hope Show, the basic foundation, the cornerstone of this show, is love. Here on the Hope Show, from all around the world, we are one big family. The basis for this show each week is that we are one big family and that we are all in this together. We love one another unconditionally. We encourage one another, build one another up, love on each other. We don't leave one person behind. We don't look upon one another as a burden or an obstacle, a nuisance, as unworthy, different, or weird. We do not judge. We do not notice the color of one's skin or judge one another by their status. There is always time to help a brother or sister out. Trust me when I tell you that our own personal agenda is not nearly as important as saving the life of another person and loving them unconditionally. All of these things I just mentioned, this should be our number one top priority in life. Satan will always be lurking around the corner, trying to stir up trouble in our lives. What we need is a buddy system, folks, and I think we have that here on the Hope Show, but we desperately need a buddy system. We need folks who can help us when the chips are down and help us to get back on solid ground. We need people who truly have our back, not these folks that say they have our back and then stab us in the back. Now that I've discussed in great length why it is so important to love yourself and spend a lot of time laying down a foundation for unconditional love, now I want to talk about 10 ways that you can show unconditional love for other people. The Bible is very clear about this. God does not say, love this person until they do something wrong to you. God does not say, love this person until their health fails. God does not say, leave the moment that person makes you angry. God says it many, many times throughout the Bible that we are to show the same grace and mercy to others that He has shown to us. The Lord says that we are to love one another unconditionally without limit. We are to love without limit, without condition. We are called to love one another with certainty, decisively, purposefully, doubtlessly, no strings attached, and unquestionably. If everyone felt this way, wouldn't the world be a beautiful place to be? Here are those 10 ways that you can make a difference right now where you are at. Number one, love one another. Imagine that. This would be the very first thing. In John 13, 14, and 15, the Bible tells us, I, your Lord and teacher, have just washed your feet. You, then, should wash one another's feet. I have set an example for you so that you will do just what I have done for you. Number two, prefer one another. The Bible tells us to love one another warmly as Christians and be eager to show respect for one another. Number 3, accept one another. Then, for the glory of God, as Christ has accepted you. Greet one another. That's number 4. Another passage in Romans tells us to greet one another with the kiss of peace. Isn't that beautiful, folks? I really love that passage. Greet with one another with the kiss of peace. Number 5, encourage one another. In 1 Thessalonians 5, the Bible says, "And so encourage one another and help one another, just as you are now doing." Number 6, comfort one another. In 2 Corinthians 1:4, it states, "He helps us in all our troubles, so that we are able to help others who have all kinds of troubles, using the same help that we ourselves have received from God." Number 7, carry one another's burdens. Galatians 6 has a lot to say about this matter. My friends, if someone is caught in some kind of wrongdoing, those of you who are spiritual should set him or her right, but you must do it in a gentle way. And keep an eye on yourself so that you will not be tempted too. Help carry one another's burdens, and in this way, you will obey God's law. If you think you are really something when you are really nothing, you deceive yourselves. We should each judge our own conduct, folks. Number 8, forgive one another. In this passage in Ephesians 4:31 and 32, the Lord tells us, "Get rid of all bitterness, all passion, and all anger. No more shouting or insults. No more hateful feelings of any sort. Instead, be kind and tender-hearted to one another and forgive one another as God has forgiven you through Christ." Number 9, admonish one another. Admonish means to caution, advise, or counsel against something, to reprove or scold in a mild and good-willed manner, to remind someone of something. In Colossians 3:16, the Bible says, "Christ's message in all its richness must live in our hearts. Teach and instruct one another with all wisdom. Therefore, all that you do or say should be done in the name of Lord Jesus." Number 10, pray for one another. James 3:16 says, "So then, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, so that you will be healed." The prayer of a good person has a powerful effect. Brothers and sisters, we need to really be thinking about what each of these 10 statements mean to us and how they affect each of us. We need to be very cautious and careful what we do, how we live our lives every day, how we behave, what we talk about, because people are watching us every day. You may not think so, but our actions and behaviors are being absorbed and taken in by everyone around us. That is why it is so important that we be a good influence on those around us. Leave a legacy to be proud of, something your children and your grandchildren can be proud of, to say, "Yeah, that's my mom or dad," or, "Yeah, that's my grandma or my grandpa." In time, when you pass from this earth, people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel. We are not called to be peacekeepers. We are called to be peacemakers. We are called to mimic or mirror the very example that God gave us. What He did, how He did it, how He behaved with His people. In 1 Corinthians 11:33, the Bible states, wait for one another. Slow down and wait for each other. Grow some patience. Remember that not everyone is in the same place in their journey in this life as you are. Also, remember that once upon a time, you were in their place with your own journey, and someone else had to grow patience and wait for you to catch up too. That's a humbling experience. Don't let your impatience get the better of you and cause you to leave someone behind. In Romans 12:10, the Bible says that we should honor one another. Sometimes we might find ourselves in a situation where we have done something and perhaps we deserve the credit. And someone else comes along and takes that credit for themselves. Or perhaps you see how very much that other person really wanted to do or to succeed at the very thing that you accomplished. Perhaps you see their disappointment and the failure in their eyes with themselves. It's not all about the winning or the competition, folks. Sometimes knowing that you completed something and that you gave it all is the only reward you really need. A real blessing is holding back and giving away that honor to someone else. Instead of always taking the credit for yourself, perhaps pass that credit on to the person who really, really wanted to succeed so badly and gave it their all. It will not only bless them, but it will bless you in return. Don't be afraid to lose any glory here on earth. Our treasure is not here on earth, but it is in heaven. And God sees everything you do, and God knows your heart. We must spur one another on toward love and good deeds. The word spur means to motivate. So we mustn't slow down. Keep spurring others to fight the good fight. In Thessalonians 5:13, the Bible tells us to live in peace with each other. As we are all full aware of, though, there is always an underlying current of chaos and gossip in this world. Satan is at work. We should all be very alert to this. Don't participate in the problem at hand. Instead, choose to live in peace and spread love and peace instead of chaos. This world has enough of all this nonsense without you adding to the burden. Sometimes you have to take a break from this world. Sometimes you may have to take a rest from all of the social media. It gets to be exhausting and it gets to be overwhelming. Don't let other people into your mind. And don't allow them to take control over it. And that might include your friends or even your family. At all times, seek love, peace, calm, and joy in your life. Don't let anyone steal that from you. But also, have the same care for one another. It's all too easy, folks, to become hardened and callous to the world. Desensitized, because all of the negativity that is fed to us each and every day. But don't fall into that tangled web. Let me back up for a moment. In James 5:16, the Bible tells us to confess our sins to one another. Ask yourself, do I have a hang-up, an old habit, a stronghold that sometimes gets the better of me? Do I have some area of my life that I know that I'm prone to fall into my old ways? I encourage you to find someone who is devoted to you that you can confess to and will honestly and truly have your back and not gossip behind your back. This can make such a world of difference in your life. Then I want you to be truthful to yourself. Are you dedicated to others in your life? Are you devoted to other people? Are you dependable, reliable, trustworthy? Love those in your life and around you unconditionally? Or are you one of those souls who have become hardened by all the stuff that is around us? I encourage you to search your heart and your soul. We are supposed to serve one another, not let each other down, not tear each other down. Don't get me wrong. There will be times that you let someone down. It probably won't be intentional, but our flawed human nature. Sometimes we just don't realize when we do someone wrong or we let someone down. But folks, we must try to be mindful of other people, of what we say and what we do, how we behave. Be kind to one another, and either admit it or forget it. But just a word of warning, folks. If you don't admit your mistakes, it will leave a splinter in someone else, and it will fester. And it will have an impact on your relationships. So I would strongly advise that you admit your mistakes and just be done with it. Move on. Forgive one another. And before I move on into part two of today's show, I'm going to take another quick break. So go grab yourself another cup of tea or another cup of coffee and sit back and enjoy the next portion of today's show. I'm trying to get this song over here, folks. Give me a second. Okay, here we go. Welcome back, everyone. I'm so happy you can join me today. It's such a privilege and an honor to be able to share the Hope Show with all of you each week. I want to thank all of you for making this possible. If you are just tuning in today, this week's message has three parts. Up to now, we have talked about unconditional love. And in the second part, I want to talk to you about better decisions, fewer regrets, learning to pay attention to the tension. I believe that all of us can agree we are where we are because of the decisions that we have made. Your biggest regrets are tied to decisions you've made, and we all have times in our lives when we wish we could go back and make a different decision, a better one. We all are faced with decisions to be made every day. Some are the predictable decisions, like what college we are going to, or what we will choose to eat that day, or our routine schedule of events. What will we be doing that day, or how will we get from point A to point B? But it's the surprise decisions that cause us the problems, the unpredictable decisions, the decisions that require a split-second judgment call. It's these unpredictable, surprise decisions that cause us so much stress. Some examples of these surprise decisions are you get a job promotion and you have 1 week to decide whether you will accept it or not because it requires you to pick up and move. Surprise! How about you're in a relationship and you think everything is going great and your significant other comes to you one day and says they don't want to be with you anymore. They are breaking it off. Surprise! Most of us hate these surprise decisions when they arise. If you are a parent, then you know all about surprise decisions. If you are like me, there may be a lot of you out there that are saying, I wish I didn't have to make these surprise decisions. With some of those surprise decisions, don't you just wish that someone else could make those decisions for you sometimes? It surely would make a lot of things easier for us, but not necessarily right for us. I think the worst thing about surprise decisions is the time frame that you must make your final decision. Many times you don't have enough time to gather up all the facts, sufficiently enough to make a solid choice decision. You have to ask yourself these three questions. Number one, am I being completely honest with myself? We are all experts at self-deception. We may not be able to sell anything to anyone or anybody else, but we are the best sellers to ourselves. We can sell ourselves into anything. We can justify anything to ourselves and make something so wrong sound so right. Wouldn't you agree? I know I can relate to this. Sometimes I don't even believe the tactics that I try to use on myself for selling something to myself. Would you not agree that you have sold yourself on some really bad ideas during your lifetime? I know I have, many times, more than I'd really care to admit. We all have those natural abilities to talk ourselves into doing things that we know we have no business doing in the first place. We also know how to talk ourselves out of doing things that we should be doing. So next time, stop and ask yourself, am I being completely honest with myself here? And number two, what story do I want to tell? When you are faced with a decision, think of and weigh both options, and weigh each of them out very carefully. Think about the story that would be told after the decision is what made. Weigh those options, folks. Think about both end scenarios and ask yourself, with each option, is this the story that I want to be a permanent story that's told in my lifetime and that of my children's lifetime? Because our decisions don't just affect us, it affects generations to come. And then there's number three. Is there attention that deserves my attention? Is there attention that deserves my attention. Many times there's a decision that we must make, and there's something about that option or that decision that raises a tension in our inner being. There's something about one of these options that brings hesitation to our mind. Something just doesn't feel quite right. It makes us pause and rethink what we are contemplating doing. Something about it bothers us, and sometimes we have no idea why, but we just know that we feel that way. Fellow brothers and sisters, this is known as a red flag moment. If something about our decision doesn't seem right, it probably isn't. When this happens, we need to stop and ask ourselves, what is causing this tension within us? We need to start listening to that inner voice of warning. It's there for a reason. Pay attention to the tension. Don't ignore it. Don't brush it off. Don't ask yourself what about it would bother someone else. Pay attention to how you are feeling about it. There is also another scenario to this. Sometimes you might be completely comfortable about your decision and you are at peace with it. You don't have a single care in the world about it. And then a friend might bring something to your attention that you haven't even considered. And now you experience a tension about your decision that wasn't there before. Then you start to think, huh, I hadn't seen that before. I hadn't even thought about it like that. And now, suddenly, there's a tension about your decision. Now what? The problem with this kind of tension is the fact that it then starts to create relational tension, where none had been before. Perhaps this is between friends, between you and your parents, or you and your kids, or you and your boss, or you and your mate. But it happens. This happens because we often have a tendency to dodge the truth from the truth bearer. Did you hear that carefully? Let's listen to that again. We often have a tendency to dodge the truth from the truth bearer. The truth bearer being the person who brought up something that you hadn't thought of in the first place. We start to think, well, what does he know? Well, what does she know? They can't even run their own life. And in every situation, the problem is that we are very acutely aware of the tension we are feeling about a decision we are making, but we tend to discredit that tension by telling ourselves that it's not a big deal. I'm probably being paranoid. I've worked hard. I deserve this. This is when we start selling to ourselves. And we do certainly have an expert ability to sell ourselves. Before you know it, we are selling ourselves right out of that pesky tension and have completely talked ourselves into believing that it is most assuredly the right decision. Has anyone ever done that before? I'm guilty as charged. In fact, I admit, I'm really, really good at it. Next time you find yourself in a position of making a very important decision, if something bothers you about it, I just want you to stop and take the time to ask yourself, what about that bothers you so much? Perhaps you need to listen to that little voice inside you. Red flag moments are meant to happen for your protection. Don't be too quick to dismiss these red alert moments going off in your mind. Sometimes you will be sorry indeed that you did. If there is something that bothers you about another person, a job, a contract, a deal, a promotion, that invitation, whatever that thing is, face it and embrace it. Don't excuse it. Face the tension until it goes away or you decide to move in another direction. Don't replace something that God has put into place. That's a very foolish thing to do on our part. When we do this, we essentially then put ourselves at a higher rank than God. Don't you think he'd be a little upset if we did that? Why do we push through the tension when we feel it? Why do we push through that tension when we feel it? One of the reasons we ignore the tension and just push through that tension and sell ourselves on the idea is that we believe we can predict the outcomes. We have the idea that we believe we can predict the outcomes. But everyone knows that they can't truly predict the outcome of things. Have you ever been disappointed? Of course we've all been disappointed at some point in our lives. Do you know what disappointment is? Disappointment is always connected to an unexpected outcome. When you assume an outcome, and the outcome isn't what you expected, then you experience disappointment. Here's the point. Ignoring that unsettling tension in your gut, by doing this, you are setting yourself up for disappointment. Paying attention to that tension is a way to avoid unnecessary disappointment. Sometimes you have to have the self-control to change plans in midstream. Listen to your conscience. God takes responsibility for those who wholly yield their lives to Him. Folks, don't take matters into your own hands. Instead, yield your life to the Lord and let Him take care of you. His plan is always better for us than the plans that we set for ourselves. And on that note, I'm going to go ahead and take another break before we start the last part of the message. And the last part of the message, we're going to be talking about crisis to opportunity. So here's a song from For Kings and Country.
If I sing but don't have love, I waste my breath with every song I bring. An empty voice, a hollow noise. If I speak with a silver tongue, convince a crowd but don't have love, I leave a bitter taste with every word I say. So let
Everyone, I hope you've been enjoying today's message. I want to thank all of you for joining me on this beautiful Saturday, and I want to say a big thank you to the other networks out there for broadcasting my shows as well. Thank you all for your love and support. If you are just tuning in to today's message, it has been a three-part message. The first part of the show was about unconditional love and a review on learning how to love yourself. Love starts with us. If we can't love ourselves the way we should, in a healthy way, then we can't give others what we don't have to give to ourselves. So the first part of the show is about why all of this is so important and how all of that ties together and how we can show each other unconditional love no matter what the circumstances. The second part of the show was about making better decisions, fewer regrets, and paying attention to the tension. This part of the show is about speaking truth to yourself. When something doesn't feel right about some decision you have to make, then don't excuse or ignore the bad vibe, but embrace it and try to figure out why it doesn't feel right to you. Take caution. Don't move forward with your final decision until the unsettling feeling either goes away or you decide to take another different direction. Don't take matters into your own hands and try to replace something with what God has put in place. His plans for our lives is far greater than any plan we have for ourselves. Listen to your conscience. God takes responsibility for those who wholly yield to God. He's got this, folks. Rein in some self-control and patience, and let God's perfect timing just let it happen. When God's ready to reveal His plan for you, for your life, you'll know. We don't have control over everything, as we would like to believe we do, whatever our situation is. No amount of effort on our part will make things happen 1 minute before God's ready. So do yourself a favor. Take the pressure off yourself. Kick back. Relax. Put your life in God's hands and let Him figure out the rest. And now, for the third and final part of today's show, Crisis to Opportunity. I want to ask you this very important question. How do you personally respond to crisis? Too often we don't respond with our eternal life in mind. At some point in our lives, we have all faced hardships, losses, and painful circumstances. But did you know that our Heavenly Father always has a purpose for the adversity that we face? We can profit from the adversity we face if we respond to it correctly. But how many of us think of it this way when it's happening to us? I want to use Joseph in the Bible as an example of some pretty serious crisis times for Joseph. There were 7 crises recorded in the Bible that Joseph dealt with. Number 1, and I'm just kind of briefly going through this, kind of paraphrasing it, but hitting on the highlight notes. So number 1, he was hated by his brothers. As Jacob's favorite son, things were made worse by telling Joseph's brothers that they would have to bow down to Joseph one day. So the brothers plotted against Joseph to do away with that little problem. Number 2, the brothers threw Joseph in a pit. They were going to do much worse to him, but one brother persuaded the rest of the brothers to throw him in the pit to spare his life. Although Joseph was helpless, he remembered God's promise for his future. This meant that the Lord would not allow Joseph to die. Number 3, then Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. Instead of rebelling against his captors, Joseph took advantage of the situation by learning Egyptian culture and language. Joseph trusted that God had a purpose for his hardship. Number 4, Joseph then was forced to work as a slave for Potiphar. This was Pharaoh's chief bodyguard. This is where Joseph learned about the Egyptian how the Egyptian families operated. As a Hebrew and a slave, Joseph was considered inferior, but he gained much knowledge about how to manage a large, prosperous household. 5. And then, of all things, Joseph was targeted for seduction charges by Potiphar's wife. Despite the personal cost of such an accusation, Joseph remained faithful to God. Through this crisis is when Joseph discovered his own strength, that which he did not know that he even possessed, to resist all temptation and prove the depth of his devotion to the Lord. Number 6, and after all this, Joseph was sent to prison unjustly for refusing the advance of Potiphar's wife. Despite the fact that Joseph was wronged, he still remained obedient to the authorities and treated them with nothing less than kindness and respect. And in a wild turn of events, number 7, Pharaoh had a dream. Joseph is asked to interpret it. When Joseph interpreted the dream and explained that famine would come after 7 years of abundance, he advised Pharaoh to prepare by storing up food from the 7 years of plenty. In response to Joseph's honesty and assistance, Pharaoh promoted Joseph to second in charge over all of Egypt and placed Joseph in charge of administering food storage. How could one person deal with so much crisis in their life and not be bitter by the chain of events, or lose faith, or blame God for the things that had happened to them? Why do you think Joseph was ready and capable of such a responsibility? The answer is this. Joseph had used each crisis in his life as an opportunity to develop himself into a wiser and godlier man. How do you think Joseph's life would have turned out differently if he had responded with bitterness, anger, hatred, envy, revenge, lack of forgiveness, negativity, and the like? How many of you in the listening audience could see yourself behaving with this kind of contempt and hostility in your own heart if you were faced with the things that Joseph had been faced with? How many of you could see yourselves responding just the way that Joseph did? What do you think is the better choice? Even though these things that happened to Joseph were a long time ago and is now a part of history in the Bible, we too face crisis in our lives today. Some of us carry burdens that the average person would just buckle from the pressure. Have you ever wondered how some people can handle a great deal of stress in their lives and still react positively to the hand of the cards that were dealt them? Have you ever wondered why? What makes a person tick? Why some can remain stronger and can behave in positive ways that perhaps we will never understand? I am sure we can all think of someone, or perhaps even several someones in our lives, that just seem to have an abundance of calm and peace, wisdom, strength, joy, patience, love, and kindness, and they have been put through the proverbial wringer, and still their faith remains strong. Their attitude remains positive, and they still rejoice with thanksgiving. Sometimes these folks appear to be supernatural almost. Folks, that is the difference in having God in your life, having God on your side. So, would you like to know how to turn crisis into opportunity, folks? Well, let me share that with you. There is no big, well-kept secret. No cryptic messages, none of that. It's just pure common sense, really. If you are a believer, this will make more sense to you. But if you're a non-believer, I hope you will still get something out of today's message. Number one, trust that God is working everything in your life for your good. Number two, believe that the Heavenly Father is in control of everything. Number three, accept the Lord's ways as higher than your own. Number four, refuse to make quick decisions in the midst of crisis. You must gain all the facts before you can make an appropriate, solid decision. Number five, focus more on the Father and less on the circumstance. Meditate on the Scriptures. This will fuel your awareness of God's unconditional love and comforting presence. Number six, avoid dwelling on the pain. It's natural to feel the sting of loss and suffering, but instead of focusing on the grief, go to the ultimate source of strength, God Himself. Number seven, recall past times of crisis and the opportunities that followed. God doesn't promise that there won't be storms in our lives, but He does promise to equip us to get through them. He will be by our side through the storm. Not on the other side, not going around the storm, but through the storm with us. Have faith and believe, folks. Number 8, let go of anger immediately. When you're angry, you don't see things in their proper perspective. It's easy to let that anger control us, and our perception is really easily distorted. We let our emotions take over our common sense. Clearly, a person who is mad is not thinking straight. Submit to God's will. God knows everything about us. He was the one that created us. His plans are far better than ours. He knows what's in our future. We don't. Let Him be at the helm of our ship. He sees what we can't. So trust Him. And number 10, demonstrate a spirit of gratitude. Instead of being angry, unappreciative, negative, bitter, soured by life, try to find some joy and thankfulness in every situation. You can always look around and see someone who is in far worse shape than you are. And besides, if you want to be a sour grape, think of your past and take a look at how far you have come in life. But do you really think you did that all by yourself? Hardly, you silly person. Without God, we can do nothing. Don't forget to give credit where credit is truly due. Don't think so highly of yourself. Trust me, if you had done these things on your own, you would be flat on your face with a big fail sign plastered to your forehead. 11. Determine to view these trials as a chance to see God at work in your life. And lest you forget, look back and see how God has worked things out for your good in the past. Number 12. Refuse to listen to the world, your friends, the media. Some people have the best of intentions for you, but let's face it, they are not our Creator. He loves us unconditionally, and He has no other motive but that we are His children and He loves us. He has our best in mind. Number 13, remain in constant prayer. Listen for our Heavenly Father's instruction. God will often use hardships to draw us closer into a deeper, more intimate relationship with Him. I, myself, can look back at times in my own life, and though I may have not seen God's hand in something at that moment, I can see clearly now how God has done just that in my life. That He's been there for me, and that the things that He did all worked out for my greater good, and it drew me into a deeper, more intimate relationship with Him. And I give Him all the glory for that. 14. Do not give in to your emotions. Our emotions cannot be trusted, folks. And the last, but certainly not the least. 15. Obey God and leave all the consequences to Him. You can't go wrong by trusting Him with your entire life. So I'm going to take one more really quick short break, play you one more song, and then my husband Shaziz is going to join me for a few last minute words before I close up on out of here tonight. So here is You Are More by 10th Avenue.
There's a girl in the corner with tear stains on her eyes from the places she's wandered and the shame she can't hide. She says, how did I get here? I'm not who I once was.
And I'm crippled by the fear that I've fallen too far to love. But don't you know who you are? What has been done for you? Don't you know who you are? You are more than the choices that you've made. You are more than the sum of your past mistakes. You are more than the problems you create. You've been remade. Well, she tries to believe it, that she's been given new life. Shake the feeling, well, that it's not true tonight. She knows all the answers, and she's rehearsed all the lines. And so she'll try to do better, but then she's too weak to try. But don't you know who you are? Of your past mistakes, you are more than the problems you create. You've been remade. You are more than the choices that you've made. You are more than the sum of your past mistakes. You are more than the problems you create. You've been remade. You've been remade.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for that short break, and I've got my husband Shaziz here to talk for the next 5 or 10 minutes and maybe give some of his thoughts on today's message. And so, what is it that you'd like to share with the folks all around the world?
Well, on the first portion, on the unconditional love thing, that's what everyone should have for their family regardless. There's nobody on this planet who's perfect, and so we all make mistakes. You got to expect that, but it's just really important. You never know when, time, day or night, you may not have certain individual around anymore. You may just take them for granted, that annoying cousin or brother or sister or whatever, you know, and then suddenly they're gone. There are probably some sickos out there would be happy whenever somebody's gone and find joy in it, but that's not what unconditional love is about. It's about forgiveness and helpfulness and everything that is all wrapped up in that nifty bundle there. It's really a hard thing to explain. But when you think about a God that unconditionally loves all his children, you know, really, we need God more than God needs us. Everything in God's life is perfection. And so, you know, any bad thing that could taint love, he won't need no part of it. So that would be something to take into your life for an example, is if you want to live in a life full of love and respect for others, and you got to leave all that other stuff out. You know, the hate, the discontent, all that stuff, it's just extra baggage for you to carry around in life. It's something you don't need. The hate and the get discontent, they need you. You don't need them. So, I don't know, that's about the best I can say on that.
Well, what do you think about, you know, making better decisions and having fewer regrets and paying attention to that little voice inside your head when something tells you that something doesn't seem quite right?
Well, pretty much all falls under the same exact category. You know, when you live your life and you want to look back on your life one day and say, you know, hey, I've got no regrets. I treated everybody good. I did the best I could in life, and you know, as far as the way that I acted and did things, I'm satisfied. But when you tack on all the negativity that you could possibly get onto, whether it be via hate or discontent or violence or whatever, there will come a time when you'll look back and reflect on your life. What did I do with this life? Was it productive? Did I do anything to make this world a better place? Or maybe you don't even care when it comes to that point. Maybe you just go on to your great reward or on the opposite side, whichever the case may be. But I'm pretty sure that every single individual out there, every single living soul, wants to be remembered for something. We're social beings. We want to be around people who want to be around us. We want to feel like we are part of something or special or something that is good. And if you look back at your life and you can't even think of one thing or one person who thought of you in a good light, you know, there's a lot of regret there. You wasted an entire lifetime or entire time of working your life away just to build your ivory tower or your stairway to heaven with gold. And for what? You missed out on all your family, you missed out on all your friends, and you can't take none of it with you. The rich man will go to heaven or hell, vice versa, with empty pockets and an empty soul in some cases.
Yeah, our graves are all the same size, you know, and like you said, we can't take anything with us. You know, it's what we do with the time that we have on this earth. You know, that's what's going to determine where our final resting place will be.
I always felt like life was like school. It was like a learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you learn to be a better soul for maybe a higher purpose one day. Who knows? Maybe one of these days we'd be put in charge of some other planet to be the caretaker of or whatever. I don't know how it goes on the other side because I ain't got there yet. But I got my ideas. But in the meantime, while I'm down here with all of these brothers and sisters around the world, you know, it feels right in my heart to do the right thing. Not because it's going to make me famous or because it's going to give me some sort of benefit outside of the fact that if I'm treating people good, they're treating me good, and the world seems like a good place to live in, you know? That's why I hate to see anybody do without.
Well, what do you think about my third part there of the show about crisis to opportunity? You know, so many people look at the cup as half full or half empty. You know, there's that debate and things like that. And some people, you know, they become so filled with bitterness and all these other negative emotions, and they don't look at the big picture. They don't see opportunities out there. It's just woe is me, you know. And what would you say to people, you know, crisis to opportunity? I mean, what would you say, what would be the advice that you would give them for taking a crisis to an opportunity and being thankful for that situation?
Well, there's a whole lot of things to be set up in there. One of the things that people don't think that God's always keeping an eye out for them. You know, you may be on your way to a job that may not be the job that's really going to be good for you in the future. And on the way to that job, you get a flat tire. You know, nobody shows up for an hour or so to fix that flat tire. But when you get on down the road, you know, suddenly another door opened up for you. You had another opportunity. Sometimes the best opportunities come out of a crisis.
Well, and perhaps, you know, there was a wreck down the road, and if you hadn't had a flat tire, who knows? You may have been involved in that wreck.
Yeah, and if, you know, if you have an opportunity to do anything in life, hold on, I gotta let the dog out. Go.
For those of you who didn't hear, Ty just had to step away for a second, but here he is again.
Sometimes the opportunities that you think are really great opportunities, because we don't always make the wisest choices in life, you know. For some reason, there's always some sort of outside influence that'll steer you away from a bad choice in order to make you better. You know, some folks got the gift of insight where they can kind of see things down the road, and they, some folks listen to the little voice in their head that says, you know, you maybe not want to turn this way today. Or you maybe want to give this person a call for this particular job, you know, at this particular time. Seems like the good Lord don't always give you what you want when you want it, but he always gives you what you need when you need it. I mean, I don't know any better way to say it than that. Take advantage of every chance and every opportunity to live your life the fullest that you possibly can. Because if the atheist is right, it's a short-term experience for us, because the average lifespan these days ain't very long. Not like back in the biblical days when they lived to be 500 to 900 years old or more. They probably ate healthier back then and took care of themselves and loved themselves like they should have. Because to love yourself is to love others. You got to be strong in order to be strong for someone in need.
Thank you, Shaziz. I appreciate all that. That was some very, very good information, some very good advice. I want to ask all of you out there right now listening, are you facing a crisis today? If so, the Lord wants you to use that to develop your skills, strengthen your character, and draw you closer to Him. My prayer for you is that you will surrender to Him. Accept His grace, mercy, and love, even in the midst of all the adversity that you currently face. Then you will learn to turn each new crisis into an amazing opportunity to see Him at work in your life and to glorify His name. So I'll ask Shaziz one last time if there's any final thing that he wants to say, and then I'll close this up out of here today.
Oh, just stay true to yourself and your dreams and your hopes and your aspirations, and try to not just think about yourself, but the future of all humanity whenever you're making your choices, because the things that you do and say are more powerful than you could possibly imagine.
Okay, folks, you have heard it from Shaziz today, and you've been here on the Hope Show with me, Beverly, as your host. And so today, this wraps up our message. I hope you have all enjoyed the message and that you've gotten something useful from the message. But before I close, I want to wish you the comfort in difficult times, rainbows to follow your clouds, smiles when sadness intrudes, faith so that you can believe, sunsets to warm your heart, laughter to kiss your lips, courage to know yourself, hugs when spirits sag, patience to accept the truth, beauty for your eyes to see, confidence for when you doubt, friendships to brighten your being, and a love to complete your life. Until next Saturday, same time, same place, go and be blessed, folks. And unconditionally love one another. And I'm going to play us up out of here with a little song by Big Daddy Weave, If You Died Tonight.
I don't have it all together. Sometimes I find myself asking why, oh why. But I know we don't have forever, so I'd be a fool to let this moment pass us by. So at the risk of sounding crazy, let me ask you, if you died tonight, where would you be? Where would your soul spend eternity? Jesus gave his life. If you just believe, it changes everything. If you die tonight, so you can call me narrow-minded, but I believe that in your heart there lies the proof. And if you look down deep, you'll find it, an empty place that is pointing to the truth. You can hear his voice inside you, gently asking, if you died tonight, where would you be? Where would your soul spend eternity? Jesus gave his life. If you just believe, it changes everything. If you die tonight, say, I need you. I can't live without you. Come and fill my life with your glory, God.